Welcome back, everyone, to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judith Weigel, your host and amicable divorce expert. Why? Because that's all I do, amicable divorces. And I met another wonderful person in my search in the divorce world. I met Jerusha Greenwald. And Jerusha Greenwald is an ace online social media marketing expert who also segued into the area of divorce through her A Girl's Guide to Divorce.com website. She has been divorced and, like so many people, wants to help others in divorce. Jerusha, welcome.
Wow, thank you for quite the introduction.
Well, I think you're quite the young lady here with everything that you're doing. So, Jerusha, as I said, you know, everybody in the divorce field has some history of divorce behind them. And what is yours? What made you go into this?
Well, that's a big question. I would say, so obviously my relationship with divorce is I got divorced. I got married, I would say pretty young. I think I was like 22, 23 when I got married. We were together for a while, 3 years before we got married, about 3 to 4 before we got divorced. And then there just came a time where, you know, that was our only option. And then here we are.
Who thought of it first? Who was the one that took that first step out for that discussion?
I would say, honestly, it was mutual. I think a lot of people, when they hear of divorce, they would assume that it's something where it's like you wake up one day and you're just like, all right, I'm going to get a divorce. But anyone who's gone through the process knows that it takes about 2 years to make that decision. So we did a lot of counseling, a lot of conversations, and it honestly was just like a mutual decision. We were just like, okay, like this is the next step and like this is where it needs to go.
No animosity?
I think naturally you do have animosity. I would say for divorce compared to other people, there was less than most, but I think naturally you definitely have that earthquake of emotions from both sides, but I think we handled ourselves very well, you know, compared to others. We like I believe we spoke about this earlier on the phone. Like we did the divorce ourselves. Like we didn't have any lawyers involved, not even a mediators, which I didn't even, like I said, on the phone, I didn't even know that was a thing. So I wish I had. So we filed it ourselves, did it ourselves, and here we are.
Okay. And that's wonderful that you were able to do that. That really is, because that actually falls into the world of amicable divorces. It's really hard to have an amicable divorce. So many people want to, and then when they set about the business of making decisions with child support, co-parenting schedules, if children are involved, spousal support, division of assets and debts, it's slightly different in each state, but it's very similar overall in every state. That taxes people because you're still putting your emotions in order. You went from something you thought was going to be intact for life, and now it's not. And even though both people may see that it's the right thing to do eventually, once those decisions come into play, it's tough, you know? You're mixing finance with what was once romance.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it really is true what they say about divorce. It really is a death. I mean, for me, you know, you have this person in your life for a decade. And despite, you know, your differences, they're your best friend. They're the person you go to dinner with, you cook dinner for, you have all these experiences and memories, and all of a sudden it's just gone, you know, and there's just nothing. And that's devastating. And it really is. You definitely go through your mourning process because you're just like, wow, this person really isn't in my life anymore. Like, excuse my language, but you know, like what the hell? Like,
no, absolutely right. And everybody's heard of those 5 stages of grief for death, but there's 2 more added on when you're dealing with divorce. And one of them is you have to go through forgiveness or at least get out of the blame state, because that doesn't do anybody any good to keep doing that. And what people don't realize is forgiveness is for the person doing the forgiving. it's not a get out of jail free card for the person you are forgiving. It's really to release yourself from toxicity. Did you experience any of that by any chance or not really?
Absolutely. I think for me, I think when it comes to divorce, there's a lot of resentment on both sides. It doesn't really matter like what happened and what the cause was for divorce. I do think in some way, there's resentment on both sides wherever it comes from. So for me, we definitely both had that moment where we were just like, you know what, I forgive you for this, I forgive you for that, and let's just move on. Not only for each other, but it's just, like you said, it's really for yourself. Like, it's closure. And I think that's really important in life, just in general. Just for moving on, even if you moving on is that next step of being alone or finding someone else, or even just like being able to say goodbye to this last chapter, I definitely think it's necessary.
I'm so happy to hear you say that, because when people resolve and amicably move through the divorce process, it just doesn't come easy. And I really like for the listeners to hear that you can get to this place of amicability, but you have to go through some soul searching, you have to go through discomfort, and you can come out on the other side as very respectful people. Nobody's perfect. We all fall short of our own expectations sometimes. And it is what it is. We give things our best shot, right? And then
sometimes
we have to
realize it doesn't work out.
Sometimes it just doesn't work out. And that's okay, because there's learning lessons in that too. I say to people who come to me to file, divorce is a new beginning. And you have to look at it that way. You have to. So with your very positive experience, in the end run with your divorce experience, from the end of your divorce to the incarnation of A Girl's Guide to Divorce, how long was that?
Actually, I would say pretty immediate. So this all happened during quarantine. So, which is interesting because I got divorced during quarantine. So the process was all digital, which was super interesting. I didn't have to go to the court. I didn't have to do anything. I just had to e-sign stuff. So that in itself. So like I said, I got legally divorced during quarantine. And I remember I was like sitting in my bed and, you know, I was laying and I was just kind of thinking about my process of divorce and like what I had and like what I didn't have. And one thing that I thought about that I had that I was completely blessed for was I had a big community of women that had been divorced before that kind of gave me guidance throughout the whole thing, like guidance from the point of when I brought it up to them, like, hey, this is something that we're thinking about, all the way to the end through going divorce. They're like, well, we're going to throw you like not a divorce party, but we have to celebrate because like, you know, you went through all this, that's hard, whatever. But I had a lot of divorced women around me and I'm like, they truly are the reason why I got through this as level-headed as I could. And they gave me so much support. And I was just like, honestly, they're the ones that got me through this. So then I was thinking, I'm like, I would say 90% of women who go through divorce, they don't have that. And then I was thinking more and I'm like, are there any communities for divorced women? And there are some out there, but there's none that are for divorced women that are my age. But obviously divorce is for everyone's of all ages. But for me, that's kind of really what I wanted to focus on. And I'm like, that's interesting. Like, how can we make this young again? Or not sexy, but like, I don't want to say fun, but more positive. Like, where is a place that women can go and just be around other divorced women and get advice throughout the entire process? So then I thought about the name and I was like, A Girl's Guide to Divorce. That's perfect. And then not even 3 months later, I started the website, started the social media, and then here we are.
This has all been this year. That's pretty impressive.
Yes. That's pretty within the last 6 months. Yes.
Well, and somebody with a social media marketing background is the person who can make this happen and happen quickly. You raised an interesting point, though, before we get into what A Girl's Guide to Divorce is. But you said people my age, a support group for people your age. And your age is late 20s, early 30s?
Yes. So at the time, I was 28, but now I'm 29. But I think what hit me hard going through my divorce was like, obviously you go through those emotions where you're like, I'm such a failure, right? But then for me, there was that other added aspect where it's like, I just got divorced before I'm 30. Like, I won't say it again, but what is going on with my life? You know what I mean? You kind of had that dilemma. And then I met another girl who she had gotten divorced before 30. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, there's someone out there that's kind of like me. So a girl's guide isn't anyone just for our age. It's for women of all ages. But for me, that's kind of really what I resonated with, was just women need to know that there are other women out there like them that are going through the same exact thing, and to not be afraid to take that next step or feel like they're alone.
Well, I find this interesting and important because, yes, people of all ages get divorced, but the needs of a human being change a lot depending on which decade we're in and what we're facing as individuals in our professions. Do we still want to raise a family? Are we of that age that we can do that? Are we frightened to take that next step since this one didn't work out the way we thought it would? And you have a lot of years ahead of you as opposed to somebody in their 50s getting divorced after many years of marriage or a second or third divorce. So I think that's really important that you said that. I do.
Yeah.
All right, now, A Girl's Guide to Divorce has its own website. And it's just that, agirlsguidetodivorce.com. I know you just got started. It's a beautiful site. I encourage anybody to go to it. You're just putting it together. I know you want it to be a place where people post articles. You have a blog section on the site, do you not?
Yes, correct.
What have you envisioned it doing beyond this? Because, again, it's 2 months in the making and you're putting this together.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited that you asked that, because I also am looking forward to in the future to listen back on this and be like, what was my ideas? Because I'm sure it's going to be something completely different. But my vision for this platform is, obviously, it's a community for women to connect. So we have a Facebook group. So anyone who's been divorced, going through the divorce, or even thinking about it, they can join. It's the exact name, A Girl's Guide to Divorce. You'll see our logo. So that I'm going to be growing just for women to be able to talk and, you know, ask for advice, whatever they may need. But the website in itself, I definitely want it to be content focused for women to just kind of go there, listen to things, watch and read things that are related to divorce so that they don't feel alone. So I want it to be a platform full of content where women can just look at it and be like, okay, like, I understand this. Like, I see this person's story and their journey that's similar to mine. Like, I love this. So somewhere where women can go and they can just be guided through this entire process. A lot of the people who, it's not me that's writing this content on the website, it's a lot of other people. So it can be anyone in the divorce field or women who've just gone through divorce. So you can even go to the website and be like, if you need a lawyer, and be like, I wonder if there's someone there that I resonate with, and read a blog and be like, I like this person, hire them. So I want it to be an all-in-one platform for divorce.
Will people be able to connect with one another personally if they want to?
So that's interesting. So I'm a little hesitant about that. So obviously in our Facebook group, you can see who's posting in there and you can like message them if you'd like. But I do think those privacy restrictions right now kind of need to be in place, especially in the world of spam marketing, and you know, not everyone has the best intentions, as well as when you're going through the divorce, I think it's really a private thing. In the future, outside of COVID, I really would like to have like an in-person event or a retreat. So I think in the future, women can connect personally, or if they're in their Facebook group and they see someone they want to be friends with, by all means, send them a friend request. But no, right now you won't be able to connect one-on-one directly with them.
Okay. Let's switch now to something that a topic I find fascinating. It's what you've been doing for a living with as a social media marketing specialist, and a discussion that is very prevalent and very important in family law. And that is, once you've filed for divorce, how should you use social media to talk about what's going on in your divorce, or should you not? pros and cons of how to use social media if you want to explain to people what you're going through.
Yeah, so that's such a big question. Now, I don't know if I'm the right person to answer because, like I said, we discussed, I'm really big into privacy. So right off the bat, I would just say, no, do not put your business out there. But then it's different for people on social media who have put their whole family out there. They put their marriage out there. They put all this information. And then all of a sudden, you're not posting photos of your significant other or anything that's going on in your life. And then people are kind of left there wondering, well, you know, what happened? So I think for some people, if you're very public about your life, I think you should say something that about your divorce as far as, hey, this is what's happening. Please give me the privacy that I need or the prayers, you know, send them up, whatever. But just make a statement so that people are kind of aware. But if you're someone who is like me, which is I don't ever post anything online. I think I post maybe like 3 photos on Facebook a year and I'm very private on business and on my personal. I never made a statement about me getting divorced. Honestly, I think you knew I was married because I would have like a ring on in my finger or we would post pictures periodically. But other than that, I was very private. So maybe I should have, looking back on it, been like, hey, guess what? I'm divorced. But I never did. And quite frankly, it, you know, didn't make a difference. So I think there has to be healthy boundaries about what you put out there because I think privacy is power, especially going through divorce, you know, legally speaking, as well as, you know, you don't want people to have so much access to your life. So I would say make a statement on social media, but just be wary of, you know, other people.
You are probably far more social media savvy than I am. I came late to the party. I'm on everything except TikTok. I think I'm on everything. What people think they're doing on social media is surprising to me. So yes, you're very big on privacy, and I've learned that just in setting this interview up with you, and I appreciate that and I respect that. But other people don't understand privacy. They don't understand the lack of it on social media and think they're not going to be exposed. Can you talk a little bit more about the care people should take when they're putting their private lives on social media, regardless of divorce or not? What are the dangers? What are the perils? And what gets exposed?
I mean, that's, I think, everything. And I would say, especially this year, we've seen it, especially like when it comes to people who are very like, have a lot of followers, celebrities, whatever. Whatever you've ever posted online, it's going to get screenshotted, saved, remembered by someone. And if you, even if you go back and delete it, there's still a chance that someone had saved it somewhere, right? And all of this stuff is going to come back to you, right? Eventually. So whatever you put out there, just think it's permanent because it really is. So if you're okay with 20 years from now, this coming out or 10 years from now, you know, one of your kids seeing it, then by all means, post it. But everything is permanent online, you know, and I think people really need to be careful. As well as when it comes to people that are my age, I'm very careful about what I post when it comes to my job, right? So like I have clients and I need to think of their businesses as well. So I can't go out there and post things that are offensive or inappropriate because it's not just my business that I'm putting out there. As well as people who are graduating from college, from high school, jobs look at your social media, right? It doesn't matter how big the company is. Like they have systems that look at your social media. Even if your page is private, they're going to hack through all of that and they're going to see everything you've ever posted, everything you've ever said. So you just need to be aware of what's out there. And however you present yourself online is what people see. So just make sure what you're presenting, you're okay with that in any sense, professionally, personally, you know, in the future, whatever that looks like.
So when people are getting divorced, interesting you said an employer can hack through things you thought were private, which I guess is not that hard to do. You don't have to be a professional hacker, but when you're getting divorced, especially if it's litigious, it's not amicable, people are emotional when they go on social media sometimes, and social media becomes a punishment to the other person or a vehicle through which the attempt to punish is.
Right.
And maybe that's something that will start coming up in your support group, especially if you're dealing with younger demographics that grew up with some level of social media. I didn't, obviously, but adopted it along the way, but you grew up with it. So it's second nature. But within that second nature, again, if it's litigious, everything comes out in court.
Yes.
So if it's that easy, if you're saying it's that easy for an employer to figure out some things that we thought were private, an investigator, an attorney, I'm sure they have special people that do that.
Oh, yes. And what's interesting about these platforms is there really are no privacy restrictions. So a lot of people, and they get upset with that when it comes to Instagram, Facebook, all these platforms, they get really mad. They're like, well, they shouldn't have access to my phone. They shouldn't have access to my camera. But unfortunately, social media is a product, right? And we're the ones that are buying into that product. And we don't really, as long as it's downloaded on our phone or on our computers, we don't have a right to say what they can do or not do with our stuff. So everything is free domain. So I always tell people to Google themselves, right? Because you'd be very surprised what's out there. So my advice to anyone that's listening is if you don't believe me as far as like information, let's save like Google, because like everything's out there, to like your phone number, to even your address. Like, it's insane. So,
Jerusha, do they still have, I'm going to sound like a real old fogey here, do they still have Google Maps that you can zero in on where somebody's house is?
Yes, they do. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you remember, I don't know if you watched The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but a couple of years ago, Kyle Richards bought that new house and was on Facebook, was on the show, and then said she was going on vacation for a month. And do you remember?
She got robbed and they got like all her Birkin bags. Oh, her mother's jewelry.
Oh, it broke my heart. The Birkin bags did not break my heart. Her mother's jewelry broke my heart.
I know. I mean, you just, people know. Yeah. I mean, just be careful. I've literally posted stories on my own Instagram where I was out somewhere and I've had people pop up and like, and I didn't tell them to come. They just saw where I was and they're like, oh, I'm going to stop by. And I was just like, well, that's weird. So it's just, you never know who's watching and you just need to be careful. Just be more aware of what you're putting out into the universe.
And when people are hurt, even though they may not be in a heavily litigious situation, but in a moment of weakness and a moment of anger, it's just so tempting to go on our social media and make a statement or a comment about what just happened. And, you know, heaven forbid our children even see what we're saying about their other parent.
Exactly.
You know, and then it goes out to their friends. So I think in one sense, yes, we have to be very careful. And I just love listening to you as a social media marketer talk about that care that you have to take in your social media presence. But can we flip this? Can we
Absolutely.
Make this positive now?
Yes.
And through the Girl's Guide to Divorce, maybe you can really teach people how to use social media for the benefit of other people going through divorce.
I love that idea. I really do. I never thought about that.
Wouldn't that be cool? Well, I was an entertainment marketer for many years, and marketing is marketing is marketing.
Yes.
And I love creative ideas, and I love really using something that is a personal challenge that people can look at as a negative and turn it around to be a positive. It's the only way we can grow. And so I think you would be brilliant at this. I mean, just watching somebody say, I'm in pain, but I'm not going to blame. I'm in pain, but this is how I want to work it out for the benefit of everybody. I mean, that to me is a very powerful way of dealing with the pain of divorce.
Absolutely. And I think it doesn't come, I know a lot of people, they just want to feel heard. And that's what social media is about. They want to be seen and they want to be heard. But I think some things just don't need to be put out there. And and if you really want to be heard and you want to talk to someone, then you should seek therapy, you know, find a divorce coach, find someone who legally you can trust your information with and like talk all this through, and then find girlfriends you can talk with, but just be careful what you're permanently putting out there, not only for you, but just for the future of yourself, like your family, you know, your kids, your future significant other, just everyone.
You know what? I didn't even think about that in this conversation, but your future significant other, I can envision somebody being burned by social media and then meeting who they think is their potential love forever, and then finding out that in their divorce, they cremated, blasted their spouse. I would maybe pause before I get involved with that person.
I mean, we got to keep the crazy like toned down. You know what I mean? We can't let that out until like months later. So exactly. Like, let's just keep it cool.
There's so much. But yes, social media can be a very positive thing. So I met you through Instagram, where so many people are meeting, and I've interviewed a lot of people that I've met through Instagram in the divorce business. Are you now meeting people through Instagram in the divorce business, either previously divorced or doing things in divorce?
I am. So that is one of the positive things that I love about social media. I know there's a lot of negatives, just like with anything. But one thing that I've truly loved, not only just personally, but also with this brand, is a lot of my best friends actually I've met on social media through Instagram, through my personal. We've like done photo shoots together, we've gone to events, or we literally just follow each other. Then we meet up and we're like, oh my goodness, like we're so close. And the same goes for their Growth Guide to Divorce. Anyone that's ever created content on that platform, I've met online through social media, they've reached out to me or I've reached out to them. And that's just the beauty of it, which is, it doesn't matter wherever you're from. Social media is something that's in every language, in every country. So you can really connect with anyone. And it's really just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I've done interviews with people from England and Australia. I have to stick with the English-speaking country since that's all I speak.
Same.
And it's really nice because the human experience is kind of the same in most countries, unless it's a really unusual culture. But in cultures that are like ours, you learn that the human experience is pretty much the same. The way people deal with the court system may be slightly different, but the pain is the same, the triumph is the same, the experience is the same. And so I'm trying to find a positive out of COVID, and so I see that as a positive for me, meeting people in other countries. And I noticed that you did an interview with somebody from England on a girl's guide to divorce.com, and I liked listening to her.
Yeah.
She was very positive. She took the tough situation. Yeah.
She's the wonderful. She really is. And her and I, we talked, and it's the same with you and I. It's like, we talk and it doesn't turn into just a 5-minute conversation. It's like an hour because we have all these things in common and we just click, you know what I mean, on that level. And sometimes that's really all you need.
Yes. Yes. Oh, you're going to be perfect for this. This is great. Can we just go to in your background a little bit before the Girl's Guide to Divorce? What were you doing with clients in social media?
So I'm a social media marketer. I've been in the industry for about 4 years now. So I create content as well as post, grow and manage my clients' social media accounts, as well as sometimes my work gets into other avenues of marketing. I don't advertise for it, but I end up doing it, which is like I'll build websites as well as any branding work they need, like logos created, anything like that.
I think that's wonderful. That is. What had you done prior to this? If you've only been in social media marketing for 4 years, what led up to this?
Real estate. So it's something completely different.
And were you selling real estate?
Yeah. So as soon as I graduated from college, I got my real estate license. I think I graduated 1 month and got it the next because there's nothing wrong with corporate world, but I knew that I kind of wanted the flexibility when it came to not vacation, but just, I didn't want to be tied down to just, oh, you only get, you know, 2 weeks a year and you can't ask off. So I was just like, I want to be my own boss in a way. So I was in real estate. I hated it. I hated not having my weekends. Like I hated being like, you have to go show a house at like 7 o'clock at night. And I'm just like, I don't do well with things that aren't planned. So I love real estate. I'm still have my license active. I plan to get back into it, you know, later on in life. And I think it's really important to be knowledgeable. So I'm very grateful to have that part of my life because I learned so much and I'm still learning. But marketing is definitely more where it's at, as well as in school. I was a communications major and I minored in marketing. So it definitely fits more of what I'm doing now.
Well, if we all watched Millionaire's Listing, New York, LA, whatever city we want to talk about, they use social media to market their homes.
They do. Yeah.
And in divorce, dealing with the house, if there's real estate in divorce, therein lie the heaviest decisions for asset division, really and truly. So as part of your support group, you could have a little section like that, that if there's a house that's going to be sold, it could be marketed within your own girlsguidetodivorce.com.
I love that. I really do. That's a great, see, you are coming up with all these great ideas.
Well, yeah, I love the creative process and you're a good one to talk to about that. You really are. Is there anything else you would like to say about A Girl's Guide to Divorce that I have not asked you that would be informative to people?
No, I would love people for any way, just check it out and see if it's something that you like, whether you're thinking about getting divorced, you're going through the process, or even if you're like decades out from having a divorce, everyone's welcome. Any insight that you have for this process, or if you want insight, just join and join this community because I genuinely do believe that this is going to be a really good and big thing and something that's needed, especially in the female community.
You know, the collaborative effort is always wonderful. And I learned years ago from a friend of mine who unfortunately lost an infant that, you know, she had birthed. And she said one really important thing to me. She said, the pain was so huge. It was unbelievable. And she had gone through a lot of challenges in her life up until that point. But she said the one thing that got her through that pain was doing volunteer work for others, getting herself outside of herself and not dwelling on the pain. So divorce is very painful. It's like a life form that you're actually losing. And I think to be in a collaborative space like you're building is extremely important because in that collaborative space, I have a feeling that one person is going to nurture the other person. They're going to have their own individual set of skills and talents and experience that will allow them to share with somebody else and then watch how that sharing helped that other person. And so I think you have a really good idea. I never joined support groups when I got divorced. I spent kind of a year in silence. I went to work, I did my job, and then I just kind of handled things on my own. I walked, I exercised at the end of the day. I think I could have benefited by talking to other people going through it, not to complain about it, but just to talk about what it is that's affecting you emotionally.
Yes.
And then creative ideas on co-parenting, creative ideas on finding work. Because I don't know whether it's the same in your age group. And I haven't asked this question about philosophy of working while married, especially if you have a family. What is your age group talking about in terms of work and being a wife and mother?
That's, you know, that's a loaded question. And I feel like I don't even know if we could cover it in this such a short time, but I think it differs from person to person. And I also think it might be the same. I think with my age demographic, and maybe this could be with all women, I'm not sure, but I think we tend to put our careers on the back burner when we get married. And we still work if we can, or we don't, or maybe we don't have to if we're with, you know, a certain person, but we definitely put that on the back burner. So I think when you get divorced, career speaking, and even financially speaking, you're kind of in this moment where you're just like, crap, like one, I'm like 5 years behind on things that I should have been doing, as well as like, now I have to get all this stuff together. So it really just depends on the person, but I think the process would probably still be the same.
You know, there are different schools of thought, and I think it has to do with the different age demographics that we're in. So I think for my age group, and maybe a little bit younger, I'm a baby boomer. Yes, women put their careers on hold. This was a forever relationship, and everything was invested in their spouse's job and income and how we're going to save and plan. And then things didn't work out. I am learning from other millennials. I started talking to millennials about this, and I noticed there was a different philosophy. First of all, marriage was put on hold until they were financially set, career set, maybe were ready to buy a house, and only then would they entertain thoughts of having children. And I said, gosh, that's so practical. Yeah. And perhaps they learned from their own parents and upbringing, and maybe the divorce rate was high. Did your parents get divorced by any chance?
No, they've been married for over 30 years. So completely, yeah, opposite. Now, it's something that's in my family. So thankfully, I wasn't the first one. So everyone was like, oh, yeah, what's one more? But no, my parents weren't divorced. But I agree with you. I think a lot of people get married young, and they put a lot on hold. And like they, like you said, like marriage is kind of happening later now. And I think that's okay. And I think that it should, that's how it should be. You know, you don't really know who you are until I think you're in your late 30s anyways. So what's the rush, really?
Yeah. You know, I know that a lot of women want to have children in their early 20s so that they can be a young mom. And that's great, and that's wonderful. But to quote Ramona Singer on the New York Housewives,
I'm so happy you're a Housewife fan, because I'm obsessed. I watch every one, every episode I've seen. So,
I mean, who doesn't want to see wealthy people getting upset with one another? I just love it. Plus, it's shot in my city. Beverly Hills Housewives are shot here in Beverly Hills. So you see them on the street, you have to watch it. But Ramona Singer of the New York Housewives, what did she always say about career? Make your own money. Doesn't matter how much money your husband makes. And they did have a child, because if you don't make your own money, and, you know, heaven forbid, you do have to get a divorce, what if you're way behind and haven't been in the workforce for years? What are you going to do now? And you're married to somebody who theoretically doesn't believe in spousal support. I'm sorry, I always laugh when I hear that. Okay, but the state does. And so now we have to address this. I'm so sorry what your philosophical positions are, but we have to address it. But for women, since you are, you know, reaching out to women, I'll make a statement to women. Even though your state will support you and protect you with alimony / spousal support, it's called spousal support in California, alimony in many other states, it's still a big issue, depending on how long you've been married, how much money your soon-to-be ex-spouse has, and what proportion of that income goes to you, and is that even enough? Because depending on what your spouse makes, it's not enough for you to live on. You're going to have to work anyway. And I loved when I was talking to millennials, they were really looking at that and saying, no, even if I want to have a family, I think I should be self-supporting as well. Now, what does that do to the children? you know, are the kids latchkey children because of that, you know? And so I
alternatively, though, I think if you genuinely don't want to work and your spouse can support you, then I think outside of, if that's something, then how about discuss having a bank account, X amount of money that goes into it in case something like this happens that only you have access to?
Great idea.
Yeah.
Really great idea. Really and truly. So then it's already out there. Everybody knows it and it's protective and at least you're doing something for yourself. You know, it's tough to start thinking like that because you do want this emotional thing called marriage to last forever, but there's a practical aspect to it.
Yes. Yes. Which is we're not perfect. Nobody is.
Yeah. And that practical aspect isn't going to go away.
No.
So you go, girl, on a girl's guide to divorce.com. You go with that. So, Jerusha, how do people get in touch with you, whether it's through the divorce guide or in general? How would you like to be contacted?
Yeah, I mean, so contact me through A Girl's Guide to Divorce. The Instagram handle is the same as well as the Facebook and the Facebook group. If you'd like to be a part of it in any way, you can shoot me an email at jay@jgmediamarketing.com. You
know, say that slow.
jay@jgmediamarketing.com.
Okay, the reason why I wanted you to say that, and I'm glad you gave that email address out, it's because you have a little bit of competition in the Google listing of your website because it can at times go to that show, that Bravo show, since you and I are Bravo aficionados, A Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting a lot. And when you sent me the link, I was so happy.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you gave that email address and I'll give it again for you, jay@jgmarketing.com.
Yes. Okay. And for A Girl's Guide to Divorce, it's A Girl's Guide to Divorce instead of The Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce. So
I know. I tried it, but it was just Google was just getting a little confused there for a while. Jerusha, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for joining us on Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. You can reach me for questions, topic ideas, subscribe, anything you want. My email address is judy@constructiveuncoupling.com. judy@constructiveuncoupling.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to speaking with you next week. Take care.